This morning we are going to be in the Gospel of John in the very first chapter. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 begins a week of how God created the world. And what a spectacular time. But in the Gospel of John, we get the privilege of seeing a week how that God recreated a world. And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at the disciples that God brought along, that Jesus came to get, came to change their lives. So in this case, the invitation is, well, come and see. Just come and see. I liked how John begins. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Powerful. Something you just don't gloss over. Something that you just doesn't hit you instantly and say, "Oh, I got that." No, you don't. Because it's so much more than what we normally think about. Because it was meant to be so much more. The parallel to Genesis is indescribable. God the Son is speaking again. John is recording it, laying it out for us. But as much as I'd like to spend time right there in the first two verses, I'm not going there. I want to go to drop way down to the 35th verse, and that's where I want to begin. Because this is a week that reveals, it just reveals the way the Master, what method he uses to speak to men and women. And not only the method that he uses, it also reveals the variety in the calling of those men. You said, well, they, you know, were friends, they were this. All of them had different things. They weren't the same people. Not any way, shape, or form were they the same people. They had their own character. They had their own traits. They are just as different than as all of you are. But that didn't change the last thing that it revealed in this very passage was the unchanging context of the message that Jesus would bring. That he would plant in their hearts and say, this is the message. This is what is important right here. And even though the Master's methods change, as you well know, I don't know how you were won to Christ. I don't know where you were at that time. I know where I was when Jesus spoke to me and how God changed my life. But I know this, his methods vary because people vary. How you approach one is not how you approach the next one. But I know this, the content of that Christian testimony never varies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I mean, that's as simple as I can make it right there. Because Jesus revealed himself. That's the key right there. You know, you can say, well, I went to church camp and, you know, and it was a great church camp and that's why I got saved. No. You may have got saved at church camp. You might have got saved someplace else in life. But until that one revealed himself, you don't know him. And I know for a fact that that's what he does. Because he's the one that knows each one of us intimately, completely. There's not anything that escapes the Father. Nothing escapes the Son. Nothing escapes the Holy Spirit. And it's really evident right here in this passage of Scripture. So if you found John chapter 1, we're down at verse 35, and we're going to begin right there. "And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples," he's talking about John the Baptist, that's the lead up. If you'd have read prior to that, read it on your time, not on mine. "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God." John is pointing out that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He's pointing it out to his disciples, the two that were standing there with you. And I'm sure there was probably more that were right there. In verse 38, and then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them. Well, they had stopped everything they were doing. They'd listened to John all this time. But when he pointed out, this is the Son of God, this is the Lamb of God, those two disciples went to follow the Lamb of God. Why? Because John told them, I'm not the Christ. I'm just a forerunner. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. I am the one that's saying, here he is. I'm not worthy to be part of that. I'm here to announce who he is. And those two disciples would go after him. Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Or what are you looking for? Who do you think you're seeing here? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? In other words, where do you live? Where are you going? What are you doing? And he saith unto them, come and see. An invitation, a personal invitation, comes from Jesus. If you cannot have faith to believe that your eyes would be open, then you just need to come and see. It's a precursor to faith. I want you to come and see and be proven that this is what I do. You want to know about me? Well, come and see. Just as they watched John the Baptist, come and see. They heard the voice. They heard him baptized, and they saw all these things. He said, Jesus was saying, well, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. In other words, about 4 p.m. One of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I always, always like to be reminded, well, there's Andrew. You know who he is. That's Simon Peter's brother. Simon Peter's the big shot. Yeah, right. He's just little old Andrew. He doesn't live out a life like little old Andrew. He lives out a great life. And yes, he happened to be, Andrew was Simon Peter's brother, but I like to say Simon Peter was Andrew's brother. Because Andrew was the one to see first and went to get his brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And if you have any questions about the stone, ask Terrence after church. And he'll direct you to the size of the Petro or some other gasoline. I just want to see if you guys are awake. Y'all sitting there awfully quiet today. I don't know what you're thinking. Okay. Philip, let's move on down. We're going to go down here. It says, and the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. He didn't send somebody else. He went to Philip himself. He stayed around to go meet Philip. Has Christ ever spoken to you that way? If Christ just didn't listen to the preacher, Christ said, I got a message I want to give to you. I want to lay it out just to you. This is what he did with Philip. This is how important Philip was, even though there are some struggles through the scriptures with Philip. You know, but this how's important. I think Jesus was pointing out that everybody's important. All members, one body. We've been reading about that in Romans and how important every member is. Each one of you are important, that God needs every one of us. Nobody excluded. Everyone is needed, and he finds it to be true. He did it in Philip's life in verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, just on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, just a little bit north of it, and that's where they all grew up together. Philip findeth Nathanael, or Bartholomew, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Was that supposed to mean something? Like, who was Joseph? I know he must have been an incredible carpenter. You know how incredible carpenters are. Okay. Richard, I'm giving you a plug here, buddy. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? I love skeptics. I really do. I can be sarcastic with the best of them. Philip saith unto him, come and see. The second time we hear that, Jesus said, come and see. So Philip says to Nathanael, I can't prove anything to you. Well, just come and see for yourself. How many times have pastors had to say that? You don't believe what I'm saying. You know, I could divide the word. I could give you the Greek. I could do all this stuff. You still don't believe. Well, come and see for yourself. Come and have an experience for yourself. Come find out what God is saying to you. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In other words, this guy is just straight up. You know, he's not messing around about it. If he's got something to say, he's just going to say it. You know, he's going to be truthful about whatever he says. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know anything about me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That's an incredible story right there. Jesus saw this Nathanael, Bartholomew, under a fig tree, sitting up under a fig tree. What was he doing? I don't know what he was reading. You know, maybe he was watching cartoons. I don't know what he was doing. But I know this, Jesus saw him. And this is where he was, under that fig tree. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Whew. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, thou believest? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Were your eyes open like that? Can you see, like he's pointing out, with eyes of faith? Do we see today, thousands of years later, with all the history, all the writings about Jesus, all the great things that have been talked about, everything that's been done, In Christ's name, all the churches, all the denominations, all these things, the theologies and everything, do we see as Jesus wants us to see? The invitation is right here. Well, come and see. If your eyes aren't open today, come and see. I think every day of our life we should see something different. I think we should grow in his spirit and in his faith because it's Jesus that is revealing it to us. He is the one that's going to do every bit of this. Think about it. Think about all the things. In one of the most remote places in the entire world. Oh, it's on the map now, but it wasn't then. It was just a little old place, and it just happened to be by the Jordan River. Think of all the great things that have taken place there through the centuries. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. That little river, and I've been right there, and it's a mud hole. If you want to go get baptized in that, don't go in the wintertime. It was so cold. They all said, don't you want to be baptized? Nope, got it one time. Kind of like the clean water I felt right here. It was so cold. I'm in a jacket, and they're walking out there in a robe, and it wasn't one of those robes keep you warm. And they were getting baptized out in that muddy river. I'm glad I had faith, and my baptism was good enough for me. I'm glad it was in a tank just like that one. It happened to be across town at Parkview, but it was a great time. It was perfect for me. But when you think about all the things that have taken place around the Jordan River, you think about what's taken place, the history alone that ascribes to this part of the world. That's the kind of meeting it was with a James and a John and Andrew and a Simon Peter and then a Nathanael, all then Philip, all of these things. Has there ever been a meeting place any greater than that? No, I'll answer it for you. This truly was one of the greatest meeting places and the meeting with greatest men that has ever walked on the face of the earth. Well, I have to throw Paul in that one too. I know it was on Damascus. That's another couple 60 miles north of that. However, this is what Christ did. Look at their life. If you don't know very much about the disciples, you know, we know the big ones. We know the big names, the James and Johns and Simon Peter. We know the intimate three, all that kind of stuff. John MacArthur, 12 ordinary men. Read the book. It's fascinating because he breaks down every one of those disciples and he talks about them right there. They were radically different. I mean, not a bunch of radicals. I mean, it's just the fact that every one of them had a different temperament. Every one of them had different needs. How they were approached was totally different. But the message of the Messiah was what that common denominator always had. If you got something to say to somebody about Jesus, well, just give them Jesus. You know, punt on your denomination, on the name on the sign. Nobody gets saved because, oh, well, I always wanted to be a Methodist. Get over it. Oh, this is important, all these things, this theology. You got to follow in line. We got to line up with Calvin or with Wesley or somebody with that. No. You don't have to do anything. Give them Jesus. Let them see Jesus. It's changed the world. These men became disciples, and they changed the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what is the emphasis this morning? You. Every one of you. Our families. Every person that you come in contact with. He meets us individually. It's not some big blanketed thing. You know, we talk about heaven and streets of gold, gates of pearls, all the things like that. Well, the one thing that is significant about that is Christ. There's the centerpiece. But everything else will be varied. Your mansion's going to be your mansion. You want pink and green in your place? Okay. Hope you have better taste than that when you get to heaven, but that's beside the point. These people, these men, the first one, how about thoughtful? Does that describe you? It does for me, watching some of you. You're extremely thoughtful. You would fall in the very camp with James and John. You say, well, I thought they were sons of thunder. Well, they were. But they were thoughtful. In other words, they thought through things. They were from the Seda, and that is, once again, on the north side of Galilee. Up above the Sea of Galilee, it's called the Seda Julius. And where did Julius come from? Come on, students. You got it. Come on, Donnie. You got this one. Julius. Ha! Very good. You learned something in school. Cody, did you teach him that? Of course you did. Yeah, I taught him all those things. James and John was from that region. So was Simon Peter. So was Andrew. Why did he choose them? Because they came across to the entire world, not as scholars, not as some intellectual fool. They came across as just common people. Look back at verse number 38. When he makes this statement, and Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, and now I'm talking about who? James and John. Okay? That's what it says right there. What do you seek? What are you looking for? Well, what were they seeking? They had some of the ultimate questions of life. They had the things that they really wanted. They learned so much from John the Baptist, but there was something else that they really wanted. They were already expectant. This is the Messiah. They wanted him to unplug everything. They wanted to know the searching questions that maybe some of you are looking for today. Life. Death, eternity, some of those questions that are not easily answered. There's no just things set right there. You got to see it this way. No. But what did Jesus say to him? Come and see. Just come and see. Come and see. That was the reply. Those are the questions we're still asking. We're still asking, explain to me the scripture. Explain to me who you are in detail, more. Every day, teach me something more. You see, those are the big ones. That's what he meant by thoughtful. And those two were very much that. How about promising? You know, haven't you ever said about it? You know, he's got a lot of potential. She's got a lot of potential. I don't know whether that's a compliment or like you're a nothing now or you're just a bum. You know, they've got potential. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. What is Jesus offering? He's offering to give their character something more than they have right now. So anytime you're teaching somebody, TJ, make sure that you don't always tell them they have potential. Tell them they got something to work with right now, and then they'll potentially be a star, okay? Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which being by interpretation is a stone. Jesus was not only looking at Simon Peter, he was literally seeing through Simon Peter like he's looking to a far horizon. He was looking through him. There was something more that he wanted him to see. Peter had all kind of potential, but he had no reality. Oh, he was a big dog in where he came from. You know, he's big and mean, even like a lot of big guys, you know, they think they're extremely important. But you know how what Jesus saw in his name, in his original name? You know what it meant? It meant dove. Hey, guys, how many dove hunters I got here? Y'all hunt dove still? Well, as old as you are, I can see why you wouldn't. I don't hunt dove either outside of the backyard when Margaret's not home. If you've ever been a dove hunter, dove are the flightiest birds. I mean, they don't just fly straight in a line, you get to shoot them, and away we go. They go. They're always going every which way. That's the way dove hunting is. Jesus is saying, your name is a perfect name for you, Simon Peter, because you are flighty. You're unpredictable. Nobody knows what you're going to say and or do. But the potential is you will become a rock. Not a rock star, a rock, okay? But you're not going to get there for a long time. You're not going to get there. It's going to be a long time. And you're going to go through a lot of heartache. And there's going to be a lot of painful things that take place in this process for you. You know that God sees every one of our potentials? Every one. That's why he saved us. That's why he called every one of us. We may not have all that potential today. Some are blessed with it. Some of them are so obvious, you know, they're just waiting to happen. They're the flower that's already beginning to bloom, and it can only get better. But for most of us, it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be something else. What we will be someday is what Christ was looking for when he saw in Simon Peter one a promise. I guess my dad saw the same thing in me. Yeah. How about reluctant? We got another one that comes along. He was reluctant. To Philip, Jesus went to him personally. He went to him personally because he knew that if he could prove to Philip who he was, look what Philip would do with it. So if you look in verse 43, he says, and the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Philip would be a key ingredient. Now, Philip, you know, think about James and John. They sought Jesus because they followed John the Baptist. You look at an Andrew. He was the one that brought Simon Peter. He was bringing his brother to him. But when Philip came along, Jesus said, I'm going to him personally. I don't know if you've ever noticed anything, if you've ever read anything about Philip. Philip was that kind of man that for some, they said, I think one of the writers said he was dull. I don't know if that's a good description of who he was. I really think that he was searching for something. You ever do that? Somebody gives you some information and you look like, what's happening? Yeah, no, you would never do that. But he was seeking something more. He was wanting an insight that he didn't have. He did not always understand. And Jesus put him in a position, a great position, feeding of the 5,000. Who was it that Jesus turned to? Come on, people. Philip. I'm talking about Philip. He turns to Philip and says, what are we going to do? He's already been calculating. You know, he already knows you got 5,000 men, you got women and children, you got all these people. How are we going to feed them? Well, he'd already talked about 200 denarii. I mean, that was what you couldn't make. 20 people couldn't make that in 2 years. He said, that's what it's going to take to feed all these people. This is what I'm going to. So you see, Philip was always looking for something more, some insight that he did not have. Are you that kind of person? Are you reluctant to always believe what is right there in front of you? Can I tell you this? Christ loves you so much, he'll seek you out personally. He will. He'll use somebody. Now, let me move on. Cynical. That's one of my good ones. Probably described me even better right there. What did he do to the Mr. Cynical? He said, I have to show him something he had not seen. I had to do something that was supernatural for Nathanael to see. Verse 48, he makes this statement. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. There's a man that says, yes, all these things, nothing good could come out of Nazareth. I mean, at least I don't think there's anything good going to come out of it. He was cynical. He saw the dark side. Any of that describe any of you? You see the negative all the time? That can never take place. It won't happen. You know, these things won't ever happen. I don't know why we're doing it. But until, unlike John, because John was totally different, he had to be convinced by seeing was believing for him. But look at what he said after that. Look at how he exclaimed who Jesus really was. You know, some people are just distrustful. They don't see Jesus. They don't trust what you say. And in our society today, it's even getting worse. You can preach, you can talk, you can share. You can point out things, facts. I mean, straight facts. What do they say? No, that's not true. But they're facts. No. That's just your opinion. And that's the way they see Jesus, too. They see Jesus the very same way. Oh, he was just a man. He was way more than just a man. Nathanael doubted. He doubted until that one statement, I saw you before you even knew. I saw your life. You see, Christ approaches all of us differently. Individually, totally different. You've got personal habits. Christ says, I got an answer. Yeah. You have a certain way of looking at things. I've got an answer to meet your need. You don't always have to overthink it. I've got an answer for that right there. Some people come to faith in Jesus Christ by different methods. They didn't all come down here and bow at the altar. They didn't all take this. This didn't take place in their lives. So if you look at this and you go, how did he approach you? I can promise you this. I can look in here and I can pick out a bunch of people that came to Jesus in a different way. And it wasn't maybe in church. Could have been in the grocery store. Could have been anywhere. But this is the fact. He does it individually. And he does it for our purpose. So he meets us as individuals. The third thing, he meets us in such a way, but he's only going to do it with the same message. That's exactly what he's going to do. Our Christian testimony relates to one thing and one thing only, that Jesus Christ is the main one. Look at verse 30, go back to verse 36. He says, behold, right there, makes it really clear. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what John had to say to him right there. Who was it? It wasn't a church. It wasn't a denomination. It wasn't any of those things. It was the King. I'm pointing out to you Jesus because he is central. It's not some system that you've drug up, that you believe it this particular way, that you see revelation through these eyes. It's not about your tradition. We got to keep doing all these things over and over. It's not about this church or any other church. It's not about your theology. Who cares about your theology? The only part of your theology you better have right is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he's the only way that you're ever going to see the Father and enter into heaven. It's going to come through him and he alone. Amen. That is exactly what was declared to him, the person, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what we need today. We need to declare Jesus Christ. Nathanael hesitated when Philip pointed it out. He didn't hesitate until he said, let me introduce you to the person. And that's when Jesus came along. And instantly, he said, thou art the Son of God. You see, the only attraction you got for people is Jesus. Oh, you may charm them with your great personality. You may get them with all your wisdom or what you can do in this life or where you've been, all these kind of things. But the most important thing, and it's been in verse 29, verse 36, verse 39, verse 46. He says, behold, what I want, come and see. And what were they coming to see? They came to see the only message that counts, Jesus. Now, what is your priority? What do you need to find Jesus? What does your family need? What do your friends need? What is going to make a difference? Jesus is not some isolated event. He's everywhere at all times. That's what the Spirit of God has given to us. Andrew didn't know. He didn't know what to say to his brother. He said, well, come and see. He didn't have the Roman road down pat in that. Well, that's because Paul hadn't written the Roman road at that point. He said, this is the first and the number one priority. His name is Jesus Christ. Come see Jesus. Get him to Jesus. You say, well, I've got all these great things. That's wonderful. I'm glad you know a lot about the Word of God. I hope that you know this about it. Get him to Jesus. That's all you need to know today. Get him to Jesus. You want to make a difference in somebody's life? Well, here's your message right here. Get them to Jesus. You take them to Jesus, they'll find out exactly what they need to know. Verse 44. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Why is that important? Oh, that's because everybody in that town got saved. No, that's not what was important about it. All the smart people came from there. Well, they weren't part of that smart people. What did he do? He went to those that were closest. Anybody want to be a missionary? Or been a missionary? You ever had that desire to be a missionary? Where did you want to go? Back when mother, now she's leaving, said something offended her again. When she got saved, I think Noah was still around. No. When she got saved, you had to be willing to go to the darkest part of Africa because that was the world unknown in that day, and you had to be willing to do that. Can I say this about what you think a missionary is to be today? How about going to the person that lives within your own house? How about starting right at your own door? James and John were followers of John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't say, okay, boys, I want you to go to Rome and start evangelizing. He said, behold, here is the Christ. Start in your own backyard. Start where it really counts. You know, there's nothing more natural than to share Jesus Christ with people you love. You say, well, I don't know if I could talk to them. Well, then get them to somebody that can talk to them. All you need to do is go home and tell them, here is Jesus. And this is the answer to every need that you have. Every new convert that I've ever had anything to do with, they're the first ones to do what? They didn't go out and take you down all of the other paths. They didn't tell you about the tradition of the church. They didn't tell you the history of Christianity. They didn't go back into. They just simply said, all I know is that Jesus Christ saved me. What's your message to those you care about? To your kids, to your grandkids, to your aunts, uncles, mom and dad. What is the message, Jesus? And you say, well, they probably already know. They may not. They may not know any of those things. You guys got it made. You didn't know that, did you? Did you know that? Well, that's a noncommittal. You're going to be a politician, I can tell. No, you're not. You really know the answer because you've had to hear it and you're young. And you don't always have the answer because you haven't lived long enough to have some of those answers. And that's a good thing because you can learn properly. Now, some of the rest of us old heads, we didn't get it right. We always have to explain everything else about the church. We have to explain where we're located, what we need to do. All that's important to you and important to anybody that you meet is just give them Jesus. If they want to know about your church, that's fantastic. That's great. Just give them Jesus. If they want to know where you live and all these kind of oh, wonderful. Just give them Jesus. If they want to know all about everything that really has taken place that's important in your life, give them Jesus. Come and see Jesus. That's all that counts. Start with those that are closest to you. Make a difference in their lives. It turned out to be 12 men. Many of them from the very same place in a part of the region that history still says is incredible. But the thing that made them special was Jesus. Pull out any one of them. Give me any of the 12. Any of the followers. What's important is Jesus. John the Baptist knew it, didn't he? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. There is one that comes after me that I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. And who is he? His name is Jesus. You got something to offer? I know you do. Why don't you just give him Jesus? It's a simple thing. It's straightforward. It's everything that you need. All encompassed in one neat package. His name is Jesus. Let's pray.